Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Mac Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Welcome back. We are continuing our conversation with Kenny Hansen. He's our favorite retired Astoria Police officer.
How many retired police officers do we know?
Well, he's the only one, but okay, he's my favorite
that we've
one.
Had on the show.
Yes.
Okay, but before we get to that.
Yes.
Let's go through. Oh, actually, hey, March up at the Column. It's,
oh, yeah.
It might be your lucky day.
Any day.
We're doing random things. So check social media or just like sometimes it's the 10th car of the day or the first person that is wearing green or wearing blue or wearing a hat or something like that.
And
we're giving different prizes.
Oh, fun. Okay.
Yeah, just totally random. Sometimes we put like a little leprechaun on social media and
get
the word out. So if you see that, then something might be happening.
Okay.
So that's fun. Up at the Column.
Always a good reason to go buy that dollar glider.
That's right.
Yeah, so. Shoot it off anyways.
And then the speaking of the Column, the 100 Years of the Column exhibit at the Heritage Museum is open now.
Oh, how exciting. Yes.
Yeah, well, let me take that back. Oh. It's opening this week.
Opening this week.
technically, you could go in it, but it's not officially opened.
Okay.
But
and we have Dr. Chelsea Vaughn to thank for that new exhibit.
But Wednesday night, we're opening the doors for free, 5 to 7. Come on in and see the exhibit.
Yep. I got my folks card.
Wednesday night. Okay. There's a special one the day before for members.
Ooh, maybe that was mine.
And the food will be better at that one.
All right.
But we will have snacks Wednesday.
You too could be a card-carrying member of the Clatsop County Historical Society.
But Wednesday night, come on by Heritage Museum, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock, anytime in between. See the new exhibit. And if you haven't been in a while, look at all the exhibits.
Yes, of course.
And you could get a membership at the same time. All right. But let's get right to these are the history highlights.
Okay.
Things that happen tomorrow, March 9th, as always, icebreakers, things to talk about. Let's see, 1822, Charles Graham of New York is granted the first U.S. patent for artificial teeth.
Oh, that's...
Obviously not the first artificial teeth, but just the first patent.
For first patent, okay.
Yeah. I think that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, oh, sure.
1841, the Supreme Court rules on the Amistad slave mutiny case. You've seen the movie.
Yes.
At the end of a historic case, the U.S. Supreme Court rules with only one dissent that the enslaved Africans who seized control of the Amistad slave ship had been illegally forced into slavery and thus are free under American law.
Oh, amazing.
Way to go.
Yes.
All right,
who
was
that one dissenter?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't check.
Yeah.
Boo hiss.
I know.
He's probably. On some technicality or something. That's what I'm hoping, but probably
right,
not.
Right, yeah.
But that's a great movie.
It is,
even though it's not made in Oregon, it's still a great movie. 1864, Ulysses S. Grant is named the commanding general of the U.S. Union Army. He's the guy that wins it.
Yeah.
Maybe not the best general in the world, but he was the right guy at the right time with the right mentality.
Okay.
So, 1933.
Is this a guess what year?
No.
1933.
No, this is my history highlight.
The
most important thing. I changed, so actually there's two.
Okay.
1945, the firebombing of Tokyo.
Oh.
U.S. warships launch a new bombing offensive, dropping 2,000 tons of incendiary bombs over Tokyo over the next 48 hours. Almost 16 square miles in and around the Japanese capital were incinerated, and between 80,000 and 130,000 civilians were killed.
Oh, my gosh.
This is, to me, even more horrifying than Nagasaki and Hiroshima and the atomic bombs. The firebombing, the descriptions of what that does, it's just horrific.
Yeah.
So, but...
I think that war is never... Never good, right? I mean, yeah, a lot of bad things.
1964, the first Ford Mustang is produced. I love those early Mustangs.
Yes.
That was my dream car for a long time.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. 1964, I put this one in for you. 1964, the Supreme Court issues the New York Times versus Sullivan decision. Do you remember
that? I don't remember.
See, I thought you might. Public officials must prove malice to claim libel and recover damages.
Okay.
You got to prove that you did it intentionally to hurt me. You can't just say, oh, you said something bad about me.
Right. Oh, and intent is so, so hard.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. How do you prove intent?
Yep. Yeah. It gets tricky.
1985, the first Adopt a Highway sign goes up. Guess what state?
Oh.
I never would have guessed.
New Jersey.
That's actually a great guess, but it's wrong. Texas. It's Texas's Highway 69, and it's adopted by the Tyler Civitan Club.
Never would have guessed Texas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Let's adopt a highway.
Okay. Well, Rotarians all around the world now are cleaning highways.
What age is the right age to tell a highway that it's adopted? Because it looks nothing like the Lions Club.
Do you know that there is a street sign for Adopt a Highway for the REBA Association over by Lewis and Clark Elementary? Yeah. I keep meaning to tell this to you because I'm like, oh, is that Mac and I? Was Mac on that too?
That's funny.
Should we be out there cleaning it?
I don't. Oh, I hope somebody would tell me if I was.
I know. Is our name on that still?
That's funny. All right, but the tie.
Okay.
You already heard 1933, so I'll go ahead and do that one first. The U.S. Congress is called into a special session by President Franklin D. Roosevelt, beginning its 100 days during which it passed 77 laws.
Oh wow.
So, you know, I like FDR. Mm-hmm. And part of it is because of this first 100 days. He's the right guy at the right time. Even if you don't agree with some of the longstanding policies or things that he put into place, 1933, we were in a horrific place as a nation.
Right.
The entire globe is in a horrific place. But he comes in that first 100 days, one of the amazing things is he tries so many things. And a lot of things fail.
That's true.
But yep. He's like, at least I'm trying to do something, people.
They weren't all the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So some of the ones that I like, the Emergency Banking Act, he says, we're closing the banks. Nobody go to get your money. They're all closed. We're all going to calm down, and we'll figure this out next week.
Yeah.
So stops that crisis. The Civilian Conservation Corps, which you know I've talked about before.
Yes.
And the Tree Army, 3 million guys over 9 years.
Jobs,
exactly. Yeah. And mostly because that age group, young males from the age of like 18 to 25, they're the ones that are going to cause a civil war or something. So let's put them to work.
Yeah. So, and give them exercise at the same time, right?
Like, that's right.
Like, get them outside.
Pure genius. The Federal Emergency Relief Act, the Agricultural Adjustment Act, which raised prices for farmers. They were going bankrupt and their crops were worthless. The Emergency Farm Mortgage Act, the Tennessee Valley Authority that brings electricity to a huge swath of the nation that didn't have it. The National Industrial Recovery Act, which becomes later the Public Works Administration that leads to the WPA, which creates all these archives and public art. I mean, just so many things in the first 100
days.
They're
not the same, right? Yeah, we're building things and.
Yeah, so I love that. So a huge impact, of course. But I also could not discount the impact, and this is our co-history highlight of the day. 1959, the Barbie doll makes its debut.
I love it.
So we can argue about, you know, how much it made women self-conscious and girls only play with little dolls and boys aren't allowed to until we get a G.I. Joe, but still had a huge impact.
Oh, for sure. And how many, I mean, decades later, they're still going strong and still one of the top toys. Yeah. And if you saw the Barbie movie, right? I mean, you know how impactful it is.
That's right.
There are a couple Barbie fun facts,
too. Let's look at those.
So the full name, Barbara Millicent Roberts. She was named after Mattel founder's daughter, Barbara Handler.
And actually, Ken was the name of their other kid.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, so that's where Ken comes from.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So she was born in the fictional town of Willows, Wisconsin.
Okay.
I wonder why a fictional town? Why didn't they just like pick a place?
Right. If you're going to use your children's name, don't worry about it. Okay. So Barbie's also one of seven Roberts kids. Over the years, her siblings have included Skipper, Stacy, Chelsea, Christy, Judy, and Todd. You had to bring back one boy, right?
Yeah. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
So Barbie digs younger men.
Ooh.
I didn't realize this, that she's into younger guys. Ken is 2 years and 2 days younger than Barbie.
Oh, my gosh.
See, does that really count as a younger guy?
Not at all.
What age does it become a younger person?
Ooh, I don't know.
I think 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, in school, it's different, right? But once That's you're true. Out of school, it depends. Then it's more maturity.
That's right.
Barbie has the most impressive resume in history. She has more than 250 careers, including paleontologist, desert storm medic, Canadian Mountie, McDonald's cashier, zoo doctor, business executive, astronaut, and secretary. She's also owned more than 40 pets, including 21 dogs, 14 horses, 3 ponies, 6 cats, a parrot, a chimpanzee, a panda, a lion cub, a giraffe, and a zebra.
Okay, now how on earth did she get a panda? That bugs me. That bugs me that funny. She ever owned a panda.
Yeah.
All right, and let's see if she were a real person.
Yep, here we go.
This is the horrible one that I just can't even imagine. Her bust, waist, hip measurements would be 36, 18, 33.
Yep.
That seems like almost like vampire ridiculous.
You'd be toppling over. Yeah. Yeah, but you know, it is still just a doll.
That's
and
right.
Yes, she's pretend. More than 100 million yards of fabric have been devoted to Barbie clothes, making Mattel one of the biggest garment manufacturers in the world.
I love that.
I wouldn't have guessed
that. I love that,
that
stat.
Yeah.
You know, that was one of the stats I found not too long ago that the largest tire manufacturer in the world is Lego.
Really?
Yes. Isn't that amazing?
Interesting.
Because the little things have little tires.
They do.
Then there's, of course, millions and millions of billions of Legos that we step on in the middle of the night.
Okay.
Okay, so Barbie dolls. Did you play with them? Did you have them?
Yes, of course. There is still
a
dream house Barbie house in my house, which I do not love. yes, my mother got it for Carly years ago. And it's just so big. But yes, all my girls played with Barbies.
And how did we feel about the Barbie movie?
Oh, I love the Barbie movie. I loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Yes. So definitely a fan.
Okay. Yeah. You heard it here first.
Here you go. Yeah. So, and so where's our segue? Because we're bringing back Kenny Hansen, who now works with Clatsop Community Action. We wanted to talk to him about all the good things that he's doing in our community. And of course, he's with our favorite social service agency.
See, we should have flipped that. We should have talked about Barbie first and then talked about
And now we're going on to a tougher topic.
Kenny Hansen.
Oh, yeah.
Barbie dolls. Yeah. Pretty much. Well, there, Ken. Kenny. Did Barbie ever call Ken Kenny?
I don't know.
All right. Well, here we go with continuing our conversation with Kenny Hansen. I want to back up, and this might be a two-parter, or might just be recording this for the archives. I'm not sure which.
Sure.
But we got you here, and we got a microphone in front of you. So, Adam 12.
Yes.
And how long was your police career?
My police career was 36 years.
So talk about the changes in that 36 years from your loving Adam 12 and your drive-alongs to your last day on the job.
Oh, gosh, there's been many changes. Well, to start off, back in the day, of the police cars that we had when I started, had roll-up windows, but hand crank windows.
Okay? Right.
They had hand crank windows, and we had no air conditioning.
Oh.
None at all. Those were an option, and no AM/FM radio at all. None.
Too distracting.
Yes.
Yeah. The theory was back then, with the electric windows, if you went into the water, you couldn't get out. And no AM/FM radio because you're supposed to be driving around at night, listening to what's going on outside. and air conditioning. We're on the coast. You don't really need it.
Okay.
Still, 2 weeks in August, you need it.
But you said too, no bars, right? No bar, no separation between.
We did have the cages.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Astoria did, but when Adam 12 came out, they had no cages.
Yeah. That seems a little too close.
So I might be all over the place until Alana gets me back in line here. But speaking of television shows, we've had a lot of movies and television. I've actually talked to one of the acting chiefs that was involved in The Goonies and was part of that filming. Were you part of any of the movies here, or even if it was blocking people off and keeping them back?
Yeah, I did security for Kindergarten Cop. And let's see what other a little bit for Short Circuit.
Okay. Any memories?
Yeah.
Let's see. Doing security for Kindergarten Cop. It was the father of the child.
The bad guy.
The bad guy. Mm-hmm. He played on Hardball, I think it was. Yeah. I was doing security for that, and he was doing his scene, and he walked up after the scene, and I was in total awe. It's like, wow, it was one of my first movie stars I'd ever seen, and that was pretty cool. And It was the very first time I had seen or even had something from a food truck.
Oh, how fun. Right, craft services.
Yeah. And it was the very, very first time I tried a breakfast burrito.
At kindergarten cop scene. Yes. The scene. Okay.
Yes. And it was the very, very first time. And actually that story made it into, I think, Portland Magazine, I think it's called. They called the police department one time asking to talk to officers who had worked the movie and stuff like that. I told them that story and actually got in print. I was surprised, actually. Yeah.
And was that because that he was a police officer in the movie or just... They just reached out to police officers.
Okay. That worked. That they were doing kind of a reunion story, kind of type thing.
The first time I had salmon was craft services on a movie set.
Yeah. Oh my goodness! What movie?
Wyatt Earp. My 11 Seconds of Fame.
That's funny.
But I'd never had salmon before that.
And you're like, okay, yeah, might as well
like,
try.
I'm
it.
Like, this is good stuff. So I assume burrito was pretty good.
It was. It was. Yeah, it was the first one I've ever had, and now they're very common. I see them all over the place.
So, you know, I mean, you don't know the. I mean, you know the plot of the movie as it's going, but you don't know the details, of course, until after it comes out. And
right.
So, I'm of the generation where I had friends that were in the school and were kids and were extras in the movie, and then the movie came out and it was so violent. Their parents didn't let them watch it. Neither did the school either. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a very, very violent. It's a great movie. But don't underestimate the amount of violence in it. What did you think as, you know, both of someone in law enforcement and then someone helping on the film when you saw that the level of violence that they took, particularly in a school?
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, yeah. it was kind of different, you know, because really what you were looking at is kind of a custody battle.
Yeah.
Is really what you're looking at and things like that.
Domestic violence, right?
At yeah, right. Totally. There was that aspect of it, a child abduction type thing, a custodial abduction, and that, that they were able to make it into a great movie, though.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, there was, and those are things that maybe only a police officer would notice or think about sometimes, no one watching a movie, but yeah.
Right.
So I'm fascinated how many times you use the phrase, and I even started using it with, it's just Kenny.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That seems like a very successful way to approach police work. And I'm not knowledgeable enough to say 20% of police officers don't do it that way. And maybe mm-hmm. there's formal name of neighboring or neighborhood cops or something like that. But talk a little bit about why you think you were successful. Because you use that phrase so many times,
yeah.
I think that is the key to why you were successful.
Yeah. I had some great mentors. Steve Wood, who was a sergeant with Astoria PD, he was one of my biggest mentors. He was like a father in a lot of ways. He was one of them who used to catch me on my dirt bike, too. So, and then I eventually worked with him.
Wow.
And so... he was a great man, and I learned a lot from him, and I learned a lot from Rob Dupree. Rob Dupree was one of our chiefs, and then towards the end, there was Jeff Spaulding. Jeff Spaulding was a great mentor as well. I learned a lot from all those guys in that. But Steve Wood and Dupree, they taught me a lot about community policing. You know, being a cop is not always about arresting somebody. Being a cop is, or police officer, is about helping people. And I was taught at, a young age as a police officer that, you know, you should count success by how many people you help, not by how many people you arrest. Mm-hmm. And that arresting somebody, putting someone in jail, is sometimes or oftentimes a part of helping the person. And something that I always did, and I got a lot of weird looks in the jail, was I'd shake hands with people I had arrested and say, hey, good luck. You need something? You call me. Here's my card. I did that with nearly everybody I took to jail. In that.
Wow. Giving them your name and
phone
number.
How to find you.
Right.
Yeah. That's the way I was taught. It's the way I want it to be, and you know, and it wasn't to gain anything. It was just the way I am, the way I was, you know, just, you know, helping people. That's what it's all about.
So I certainly am not intending the reverse of this and bagging on anybody else, but how unique is that?
I would say it's very unique.
Okay.
A lot of the ways policing used to be done has been lost. It's been lost through generations, and it's changed a lot. And you know, it's to a lot of people now getting into it. It's a job. Mm-hmm. It's a job. A lot of people don't stay in it very long. Not a lot of people want to be police officers anymore with the climate the way it is. It's a tough profession. I was fortunate to be in during a really good time when community policing was big, and you know things were positive towards the police. And things like that. I was very fortunate to, you know, be there during those times.
So can somebody, part of your success, I think certainly it's you, but also what I'm hearing is part of it is that you knew this town and you knew the people in it.
Yes.
Could you pick up and go to a small town of 10,000 in New York and do as well as you did here?
It would be difficult, probably.
Okay.
But I could do it because I am the kind of person who talks to people. I love to talk to people. I'll get out there. You know, it's important to get out of the car and talk to people. So the more times you get out of the car, the more people you meet, the more connections you make, you know, and you build that rapport. So it would be a little more difficult nowadays because a lot of people are more standoffish towards police. You know, and I've had people tell me, you know, it's like, you know, especially in our unsheltered community, you know, hey, you know, I've never met a cop like you, you know, and I said, well, what you see is what you get. And that's me. I'm a nice guy. And that there was a matter of fact, there was a guy that got in a fight at Walmart the other day. This guy relayed back to me. That, you know, he was very upset. He was angry at the police. He fought the police somewhat. And his comment was, there's only one good police officer out there. That's Kenny Hansen.
Oh.
And I'm retired now but my boys, they frequently, run into people that I know. And,
sure.
And the relationship I had with those people helps their relationship.
Nice.
In that a lot of them will say, hey, I'm sorry. I know your dad. He's a nice guy.
So, I mean, it seems like you were doing this community building well before our awareness about mental health. And we mm-hmm. can call it a mental health crisis, but it always existed. We are just more aware in the public of it now. But how did you see that transition happening, especially over 36 years, when you were then finally able to identify some, you know, this is somebody in a mental health crisis right now versus this is somebody in a drug-induced crisis?
Yeah. What it used to be years ago is... the person would just get arrested and taken to jail. There, mm-hmm. there really wasn't much looking into the root cause of why they did what they did. And now, with society becoming more aware of the addictions that people have, the mental health issues that people have, you know, there's a much more understanding amongst law enforcement and everybody else that, you know, a lot of people are doing things because of their mental health or their addictions, and they're working on trying to treat those things more, I think. You know, our system, I believe, this is just my belief, can use a lot of improvement for helping people in that. Here in Clatsop County, we have phenomenal organization called Clots of Community or Clots of Behavioral Health. And they do a great job working with people. They've expanded so much to cover so many things. Clots of Behavioral Health, in my opinion, is one of the best agencies around. And that, you know, and they do a lot of one-on-one, and they know the community. They know what the needs are, and they provide everything they can. So that so as far as what we're doing here, I think it's really good.
So knowing that you are speaking for yourself,
yes,
and only you, if you could make whatever laws, whatever rules, whatever funding available, what do we need to solve homelessness?
That's a big question.
I know it is. What are some key things that would help?
I think what we need is, from my perspective, is a significant increase in funding for mental health services and addiction treatment. For years, the United States has been, you know, fighting the war on drugs. And my experience back, you know, I worked with the Drug Task Force when I was detective at the police department too, and you'd arrest one, but someone would take their place in that. So I think it should focus. You got two parts. There's supply reduction and demand reduction. And if you work on the demand reduction, you know, the supply reduction is going to kind of go away in that. And I think if you can get people to not use as, you know, much, get treatment, things like that in the mental health services. A lot of people I see out on the streets are self-medicating with controlled substances in that they're not taking their prescribed medications in that. But if there was a real focus on that, if you took care of that first and then work on stable housing, that's what I'm thinking, because I've seen people go into housing, but they're unable to sustain it. They can't because of their addictions or their mental health. They don't stay housed. And I think you have to fix those other two things first before everybody gets better.
Well, I think you're at an amazing organization, Clots of Community Action, which is certainly trying to help put all of those pieces of the puzzle together. We are so very grateful for the service you're providing to our community, continuing to provide for to our community. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure. And you do put a smile on everybody's face.
Yes.
So thank you.
Well, thank you.
And my kids knew you a little bit at school. So
yes.
There's always a warm fuzzy. And hopefully you don't know them for any other reason after that.
I don't.
All right. Thanks for listening. Go Make Some History. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.
This is KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, and streaming live on the web at kmun.org.
KMUN relies on listener feedback to determine what the community wants to hear more of and where we can improve. If you heard something you enjoyed or have constructive feedback about our offerings, get in touch with station staff anytime at feedback@kmun.org. This is also a great way to let DJs know that you love their show. We look forward to hearing from you. Feedback@kmun.org.